Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
This is At Home Connecticut, hosted by Joey Burgoyne, highlighting events and happenings that are taking place in your home, Connecticut, on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of At Home in Connecticut. I'm your host, Joey Burgoyne, and joining me this morning is Ron Katz. He's the Director of Advancement and External Relations for the New England Air Museum. A museum that's been in Connecticut for a long time, and if you haven't visited, I think everyone needs to go. And Ron, I think you'd agree with me on that one. Thank you for joining me today.
Absolutely, Joe. Thanks. It's my pleasure to be with you. It's an incredible organization. We're actually celebrating our 60th anniversary in Windsor Locks this year.
And that's the thing. The museum has been around a while, and I mean, it's nestled, I guess you could say, you know, quietly behind the airport, so you got a great view of an airport. There's a bunch of stuff in that area, but the Air Museum has a lot of things that, you know, families can do together. There's events always going on. There's some great history in the museum, being a museum. But it's a look at not just aeronautical history, but Connecticut's history. Connecticut played a very big role in the advancement of airplanes and such.
That's right. When you look at the collection that we have, we have over 100 aircraft in our collection altogether. At any point in time, we've got about 60 on display. But when you look at where those aircraft are from, you know, engines manufactured by Pratt & Whitney here in Connecticut, propellers from Hamilton Standard going back decades, certainly Sikorsky, Command Corporation, companies that like Vought, which is no longer in Connecticut, but was here for many years. So Connecticut has an incredible history of producing the world's best aircraft, or being part of that industry, and that continues today.
And one of the neat things is, you know, you look, you're ensconced in the history, but one of the events coming up kind of is, I guess we could say, the future coming up the 15th of February, Drone Day.
Right. We, you know, as you mentioned, we're trying to do a lot of different kinds of events to that are of interest to different audiences. So Drone Day is a new event we started a little bit last year. We've built upon it this year. It's going to be a great big event. A lot of people are familiar with our open cockpits, which we've had for a long time. Now we're trying to add themes to those. So this will be an open cockpit day where people can come and climb in the cockpits of jets and helicopters and other aircraft, but also experience what the world of drones is all about. We have professionals from different fields who work with drones who will be there. We have people from the FAA who will be talking about regulations of drones. How to, if you're interested in getting a drone license, how you go about doing that. So fun for all ages.
And I mean, that's the thing. It's a place that you can go and not just look at these historical things, these planes or, you know, in the back, the dirigible, if you will. People can experience it and on the open cockpit day, sit in them and experience what the pilots and the crew experienced in that plane for themselves. That's pretty cool. I know my kids, we've gone a few times, and just for them to sit there and be like, whoa, that's pretty cool.
It really is an experience. You know, it's not the kind of museum where you come and just look at stuff. We want people to interact and engage with our collection. Obviously, we have some things that, you know, not everybody can necessarily climb in, but we do have, especially on open cockpit days, a variety of planes that people can actually get in, feel what it's like to actually fly an aircraft like that. The other thing that we have that makes it a really unique experience is that we have a group of docents. These are our museum explainers. They're all volunteers, and they all have different types of aviation or aerospace manufacturing backgrounds, and they help bring the aircraft to life. They talk about how and when these aircraft were used and what made them unique and who flew them. Tremendous stories that allow people's imaginations to really expand and visualize themselves in the world of aviation.
And that's something where, you know, you can go to a museum, an art museum or a history museum, and take it in. But to have someone explain, you know, what it was like to either, like you said, manufacture or fly or be part of the time when that plane was in use, there's something that can be said about that for an experience for an adult and a child that you're not going to get anywhere else.
Oh, yeah. I mean, some of the aircraft that we have that go back to, you know, the 1917, 1918, you know, just a few years after manned space flight, flight began, you know, the aircraft where somebody, you know, people built these themselves in their own garages and then got in and flew them. And people don't necessarily understand that that's how flight originated. It was people just doing this on their own because they had a passion for it.
And there was no FAA back then.
I'm sorry?
There was no FAA back then to monitor these things.
There was no regulation. There were no guidelines. There wasn't even a really good understanding of what kept an airplane up in the sky. So people were really very innovative and very courageous.
And that's the thing. I mean, you think of a museum, but then you think there's planes and aircraft housed inside of it. And the museum itself has expanded and is very expansive now.
Yeah, we have three large hangars, about 90,000 square feet of exhibit space. So we, as I mentioned, we have about 60 aircraft. We also have a wide variety of engines from a long period of time. We have other exhibits that pay tribute to different individuals or organizations from here in Connecticut that played a major role, whether it was in aerospace manufacturing, in World War II, and Korea or Vietnam. So, you know, we like to look at the entire history of Connecticut's role in every aspect of aviation.
And, you know, we'll jump ahead a little bit. One of those, you know, niche events coming up in March is Women Take Flight. Women are taking a very big role in flight and space travel nowadays. And I think it's awesome that you guys are, you know, theming days and calling out things like this that should be highlighted.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Women Take Flight has been one of our signature events for a number of years, trying to get more girls involved in aviation and aerospace, and to showcase the accomplishments achievements of women in those fields as well. That's coming up on March 7th. On April 4th, we have our Space Expo. This is another annual event, and actually on that day, we'll have a female astronaut coming to speak, and there's an opportunity for people even to come early and have breakfast that morning with the astronaut and hear her perspective on what it's like to be in space and what it's like to be an astronaut.
I mean, that's just cool for adults, young and old. I mean, for children, adults, space, you know, travel, exploration. It all started, like you said, at home in someone's garage trying to get a piece of something to fly far enough and long enough. And now look where we are, not that far in the past to where we are now. That's something that, you know, I'm still in awe over, and I think a lot of people are, how fast that flight and space travel has gone in such a short time. That's pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah. You know, when you walk through the collection and you see from, you know, 1917 and an aircraft that somebody built in his garage where he had to actually sit kind of outside exposed to the elements, to just, you know, 20 years later, we had fighter planes flying just a few years later, we had fighter planes in World War I. We had much more advanced planes in World War II. And then, you know, the jet technology after that just took off. I can't emphasize enough the fact that what we really try to do is showcase Connecticut's role in all of that from the beginning right up until now.
And one thing, too, I'm sure you still do it. It's been a while since we've been. I got to get back up there. What I like to think of is it's a working museum. There's still restorations and things happening every day on the grounds of the museum.
Yeah, it's fun. We have a restoration hangar out back where we've got a couple of aircraft currently being restored. Most of what people see in our exhibit hangars has been restored by our crew of volunteers. Incredible work that they've done. And then, you know, every now and then, if you come, especially on a weekday, you may see our restoration guys working on an aircraft right on the floor in one of the hangars. We have a DC-3. We just got a grant to refinish the interior. So it's on the exhibit floor. But we've got our restoration guys in and out of that aircraft working on getting it done so that people can go inside it in the future and see what it was like to actually be in one of the earliest commercial aircraft.
Because, yeah, there was no Wi-Fi and TV back then in those planes. I mean, I think, you know, if people or younger children are flying now, if some, you know, a 10, 12, 13-year-old teenager went to Disney World now versus having to go back in those planes, I don't think they realize the, I'll call it, simplicity of the planes from an era bygone versus today's modern airplanes. You flew kind of, I don't want to say roughing it, but it was not the most comfortable ride.
No, I mean, you know, you may have had a little more leg room back then, I'm sure. But,
true.
But you're right. I mean, it wasn't. You didn't have a lot of amenities necessarily. It was pretty basic.
It was to get you from point A to point B. And that was about right. All it was meant to do. That's and, right. You know, what are the hours of the museum? Or how can people get some more information if some of the stuff we're talking about this morning kind of piques an interest in someone?
Yeah, so our website is easy, www.neam.org. And you can find all the information there about our events upcoming. We've got a great calendar of events throughout the year. Our hours generally are 10 to 5 every day. This time of year, we're closed on Mondays, but during school vacation weeks and during the summer, we're open 7 days a week as well.
Yeah, because with President's Day coming up, that 16th, 17th, 18th, that weekend, you guys are going to be open.
That's correct. So that Monday, the 17th, will be open. But yeah, we'll be open that whole weekend. Drone Day is that Saturday the 15th, and then we have some fun activities for the next couple of days when kids are off from school.
Yeah, I'm looking at it here. We got slingshot gliders, paper planes, which we all know how to make a paper plane. Whether or not it flies 5 feet, that's a whole nother question.
that's right. And we have, you know, one of the things that we like to show is you know, what makes one plane fly further, fly faster than another. So, you know, it's not just a matter of folding the paper or making something, but our public programs folks are there to show, you know, the different forces at work, drag and gravity and lift and how you can actually take an underperforming paper airplane and make it into a great paper airplane.
And then, you know, if after that, the kids and the families go tour the museum, they can see that in life size. You know, why is this plane's wing shape this versus this plane's is like this? This one might be more maneuverable. This one was flying at faster speeds. They can experience that visually and understand it. So that's something that you're not going to get anywhere else.
Right. And, you know, the one comment we hear most often from people coming the first time, you know, people will walk in and look at the exhibit hangars, and the first words out of their mouth are, wow, I never knew you had so much here. So, you know, for us, we just want people to understand that, you know, if they come up to the museum, this is not a place where you just see three or four aircraft. You see 60 different aircraft from a long period of time. You learn about them from our docents. You interact with them. It's really quite an experience.
And that's one thing I want people to understand. You know, go to the museum. It's an experience that you'll remember, and you'll want to come back because, like you said, there's things still being restored. The floor, I guess if you can call it that, changes, and the open cockpit days allow you to get inside of those planes and understand what it was like to be a pilot or a crew member of those aircraft back in the day. And I think everyone should get out there. Again, joining me this morning is Ron Katz. He's the Director of Advancement and External Relations for the New England Air Museum. It's easy to get to. It's right behind the airport. It's something I think everyone should do in the state at least 15 times in their life because there's little things you're going to pick up on. And one question I ask a lot of my guests is, if someone's coming there for the first time, what is one of those little hidden gems that someone should take away from them in your mind?
Oh, wow, a little hidden gem. You know, we have items that you can't see anywhere else in the world. We have a VS-44 that was built by Sikorsky. It's a flying boat. It's the only one of its kind in the world. Likewise, we have a blimp car from a World War II blimp, fully restored. And that's what I think people need to understand, that when they come into the museum, they are going to see at least a few things that you can't see anyplace else.
And that's it. You know, like I said, that Flying Fortress is amazing. It's something that it's history right here in the state that you should get out and go visit. And I appreciate you joining me this morning, Ron. Again, New England Air Museum. It's neam.org. Visit the website, get some more information, check out their hours and events. There's always things going on. Hopefully we get some people out to the museum, Ron. I appreciate you joining me this morning, and have a great day.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be with you.
All right, that was Ron Katz, the Director of Advancement and External Relations at the New England Air Museum. It's something everyone should visit. I've been there. You know, it's been a while. I'll admit it. You know, if there's anything out there that you want me to highlight or talk to about on this show, email me at WTICcomments@entercom.com. That's WTICcomments@entercom.com. Shoot me an email. I'll get in touch with the event or the organizer and get them on the show, because that's what we do here, because great things happen at home in Connecticut.
You've been listening to At Home in Connecticut, a public service project produced by WTIC News Talk 1080. Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.